Welcome to Hot Lava Podcast. Kevin Acey, Padres beat writer. Sports editor Jay Posner on the other end of the line. Jay, four more on this homestand. The Padres have lost two series in a row. They've won the first game against the Marlins. They won the first game against the Phillies. And then two disappointing, because I guess losses are always disappointing. But they're 2-4 on this homestand. Jay, I've caught you up. What do you think?
Well, I mean, they were kind of different losses, I guess. The Marlins just sort of embarrassed the Padres in those last two games. And then the Marlins went and beat the Brewers 16-0 and 8-3. So suddenly it didn't look quite as bad losing to the Marlins, but they're still losses, and the Padres obviously don't really care what else the Marlins did. The Phillies, you know, the Padres had a nice win on Monday night with Eric Lauer pitching. Tuesday wasn't so good. And then yesterday looked like they had it in the bag with a big lead. You know, Josh Naylor with the big home run. Myers followed. They produced another run, and then all of a sudden it fell apart. You know, Quantrill pitched well as a starter, but five innings was pretty much what you were going to get out of him. And that was, you know, I don't think anybody could debate taking him out at that point. They got a good inning out of Miguel Diaz, and that was kind of the way the bullpen was set up at the start of the year, right? Wingenter would pitch the seventh, Stammen would pitch the eighth, and Kirby Yates would pitch the ninth. But they just couldn't even get there, and Wingenter was bad, and Stammen wasn't very good, and the Phillies got a couple of breaks, and the Padres had a couple chances to score themselves and couldn't do it. And before you know it, that was a game that turned – that was one of those bad games where, you know, there are losses and then there are bad losses. That was a bad loss. You know, I was looking up – we'll talk more about the Nationals, who are here for four – was looking up the first time the Padres played them. Of course, the last game in Washington was the game the Padres had a 6-0 lead, lost the game, and lost Fernando Tatis Jr. So both the Nationals and Fernando Tatis back in the Padres universe tonight. But those are bad losses. I mean, they all count the same, but you know, when you look back down the road, those are the games where you say, man, we really let one get away. And I think yesterday was an example of that.
Yeah, I think let's turn to better things, Jay. No, before we do that, we got to talk about the bullpen. And I think you and I are in agreement in terms of how we are sort of processing the fact that the Padres are not going to go out and sign Craig Kimball. Of course, nobody is anymore because the Cubs gave him $43 million for, what, 2.5 years?
Right. I wonder about Kimbrel. I mean, he had some shaky outings down the stretch last year. He just went on the other side of 30. You know, I'm not a big fan of giving big money to closers anyway, because most of them don't last all that long. Kimbrel's had a great career, and he may continue to be really good. But, you know, I don't know if that turns out to be a great move for the Cubs or not.
Right. And it is weird in this era. But, hey, Cubs recently won a World Series. They seemed to put together a good team, and they thought, you know, good investment. But my point being, Padres aren't going to go out and get a reliever. Look, they've been scouring the waiver wires, and, you know, other teams put out relievers all the time. Not relievers that the Padres feel are better than theirs. And
right, I mean, other teams are giving away relievers when they're bad. Nobody's giving away relievers when they're good. I think, it's hard. You keep seeing on, you know, people are like, fix the bullpen. Well, it's hard to fix a bullpen in June. You know, you set up what you have, and unless you're going to go out, and to me, the only way you improve the bullpen at this point is to go out and really overpay for somebody, because teams that are in contention are that have good relievers are unlikely to want to give them up.
Oh my goodness!
Unless, you know, you offer them something ridiculous, and I don't think that the Padres are in a position this year where they should be offering anything ridiculous for anyone. I mean, you could argue you should never offer anything ridiculous for anyone, but certainly not in a year like this. This Padre team is not winning the World Series. It's very unlikely this Padre team is making the playoffs. And, you know, even if they made the playoffs, you could say, yeah, well, anything could happen. But let's face it, this team, I've said it many times, I'll keep saying it. To me, a 500 season for this team is what the expectation should be at sort of the high end. Like, if everything went right, you could say at the start of the year, okay, maybe they win 83 games or something like that. This is not a 90-win team. I don't think anybody should expect it to be that sort of team. And I think the idea is to get better and to show progress. And they've done that so far. I mean, they're at 500. And, yeah, 500 is disappointing when you've been over 500 most of the year. But, you know, who knows what's going to happen this weekend or the next month or whatever. We'll see how things shake out the rest of the year. But the bottom line is the bullpen can only be fixed by people who are in the bullpen now pitching better, or people who are in El Paso or maybe even Amarillo at this point coming up and showing that they belong in the big leagues. And, you know, I'm sure we'll see, you know, more of the names that I do. I'm sure we'll see Andres Munoz at some point. Mm-hmm. Maybe Robert Stock comes back. Maybe I think you mentioned Morahone was a guy that that they might be looking at. You know, Denelson Lamet could change the pitching staff. So where do you think we're headed at this point? And is there hope? I mean, is there hope for guys that are still on this team? You know, Wingenter, Stammen. I mean, Stammen hasn't been terrible. He just hasn't been what we've seen and gotten used to quite as often.
And it's only fair to ask, at, you know, 35 years old, mm-hmm. you know, about that. But I don't know. So that's, you know, we'll have to see. You know, one of the keys you said is guys to show that they can play in the big leagues. And so Miguel Diaz is going to get his shot, and Trey Wingenter is not, you know, they're counting on him. Mm-hmm. He's going to get his shot. And that's where you're going to see Andres Munoz, and you are going to see, you know, Eric Gordley. And so those are not only to, because they think they're good guys and they can help them win, it is to, so that next year and the year after aren't developmental years. But there it is. That's what it's going to be in the bullpen. I'm not saying there couldn't be some minor trade and probably people go, yeah, this guy's so much better than Phil Maton. And you know what? He probably won't be.
Right, or he might be for a couple games, and then he'll go, and then he'll be a guy.
He'll be like Phil Maton.
Right, I was going to say he'll be like Phil Maton. He'll be good for a couple games, and then he won't be good for a couple games. I mean, the Padres have a lot of guys like that. I mean, you're just not sure what you're going to get, whereas, you know, we're used to seeing from this bullpen through the years where, you know, guys come out and they're usually really steady and you know what you're going to get. But nobody, I guess Kirby Yates is as close to the exception as you're going to get. You know, nobody's perfect. You know, Trevor Hoffman blew saves. Trevor Hoffman gave up runs. Mariano Rivera did the same. I mean, there are no relievers out there who are never going to give up runs. What you hope is that when you have a 5-2 lead late in the game, that you're not going to have your guys give up 5 runs in 2 innings. When you have your best guys out there.
Look, this bullpen has had a 6 ERA this month or in the past, you know, since the beginning of May. But that's a rare one. We're reacting appropriately, mm-hmm. but that yesterday was ridiculous.
Right, and I mean, yesterday looked like the Nationals bullpen, actually. I mean, the Nationals bullpen's been better lately because when I looked this morning, their ERA for the season was 6.68, and I'm pretty sure that it's been over 7 for most of the year. So I guess they've shown some improvement. And the Nationals themselves, I mean, this is one of those things like when the Phillies came in, they were playing poor, and the Padres had a great chance to win 2 out of 3, you know, obviously didn't do it. When the Marlins came in last weekend, they had won 9 out of 13. The Nationals are even hotter than that. They're 4-0 in June, and they've won 9 of their last 11 since they were somehow 19-31. And the Padres are going to face 4 really good pitchers this weekend. And it's one of those things, I was looking at the matchups on paper, and you say, man, the Nationals have the advantage every night on paper. But that doesn't factor in the bullpens. And the Nationals bullpen has been most of the year what the Padres bullpen looked like yesterday. So you're going to see, and I'll just run down the matchups real quick. Patrick Corbin against Lucchesi tonight. And Lucchesi's been really good lately, but, you know, I don't know that you'd say he's better than Patrick Corbin. Eric Fetty, who actually played a big role in that game April 28th back in Washington, he had just come up from the minors through 4 shutout innings. He's going to start, but his starts, he started 3 games. He's only gone 4 or 5 innings in those games. So that's a game where you can get into the bullpen. But the Padres, I believe, are starting Margavichus tomorrow mm-hmm. night. Is that correct?
Yes, Friday.
So that's a scary thought based on what we saw last weekend, where he looked great for 3 innings and then all the wheels came off. And then the weekend comes and you got to face Scherzer and Strasburg. And, you know, everybody knows how good those guys are. But the Padres won both games that those guys started in Washington. I think they started those games, right, Kevin?
They basically beat the bullpen close.
Right.
Right, they stayed close, Lauer and Strom, and then beat the bullpen.
Right, and this was going to be Lauer and Strom, Strom and Lauer, whichever order, but Strom is out now for, 10 to 12 days, so Lauer will pitch one of those games, and then, I don't know, is Miguel Diaz the likely starter for the other one? Is that...
before.
You know, it's going to depend on how the next few days go. That's uh-huh. always how it was with the bullpen games last year. But yes, that would be, you know, he got his inning in. Maybe, hey, he'd go an inning today, maybe, and then go two to start that game on Sunday. But,
yeah, I mean, he had pitched, I think he was pitching three or four innings at a time in El Paso. So maybe he's the guy that gets the start.
He was up to five, actually. I'm just thinking if he has to be used today
right.
or tomorrow.
Right.
So, but that's the answer.
And I was looking, you know, the Nationals have two really, really dangerous offensive players, at least guys who have been fantastic this year. Anthony Rendon, who I think played one of the games when the Padres were there, but he was hurting at the time. He's got an OPS over 1,000, just a fantastic player, and, you know, at the Machado Arenado level of third baseman mm-hmm. in the National League. And then Juan Soto, who is another excellent young player who's off to a good start this year. So those are the guys to watch for the Nationals this weekend. What should we watch for the Padres offense this weekend, Kevin?
You know what? Fernando Tatis Jr.
He's back. He's back.
Yeah.
And he's missed almost 6 weeks, I think. Five and a half weeks.
Yeah, it was April 28th, ninth inning, the game the Padres lost in 10.
Right.
And, you know, so I was told he's back. The Padres, of course, were reluctant to confirm anything because, well, it's just gone on and on here. and, you know, they wanted to make sure that he was ready. And I think that that's one thing we can be secure in. The Padres have made sure Fernando Tatis Jr. is ready. So looking for him to be that catalyst at the top of the lineup that he was. Now, he's a catalyst all season, but he'd spent 9 games as their leadoff hitter, and darn, it was going real well. So they would love for him to hit the ground running. Of course, you mentioned the pitchers that he gets to face right away, which is another reason they wanted to make sure that he was ready. It's like, yeah, you know, you're coming back and facing these guys, Corbin, Scherzer, Strasburg. So,
well, and if he goes over, and
I mean,
if
he
does,
be more excited,
right? And if he does go 0-4 tonight, then we should just say it was all a mirage and he's a stiff, and let's move on again. But no, I mean, seriously, this team is always more interesting and more fun to watch when Tatis is there. Look, Machado played great shortstop. I mean, he made a play yesterday. I came up to you after the play, and I said this on Twitter. I don't know what the criteria is for when they hang a star, but Machado made a great play yesterday and probably better than some plays that have gotten stars. And I think it's just one of those things where it's like, you know, he's being taken for granted because his defense is so good. He made an error the other night, and you're like, oh my God, did Machado makes errors? I mean, I think it was only his fourth one of the season, but he was outstanding, and there's no way that the Padres would have even, I think, been able to hang around 500 had they not been able to plug a Gold Glove shortstop in for Tatis. But obviously, they're a better team when Tatis can play short and Machado goes back to third. And you know what this means for Ty France is probably not good. Where do you think France is the guy who goes tonight? And then then let's talk also about what happens in the outfield now. With Josh Naylor hitting and Cordero ready, you have any sense for what we might see or might even be announced before people even hear this podcast?
Yeah, I think Francie, they think, needs a couple more days because he's just struggling with his timing a little bit.
Uh-huh.
And he's been out for a long time, and that's something that's very important now. He's not quite as valuable as you would like him to be. But I think France is the obvious just because, I mean, Greg Garcia is like a super sub, and you need that guy. He's a veteran, and you know, quite honestly, he's played better than France. And I think that I'm trying to figure this out, Jay, and I will say that there is some thought in the organization that Manuel Margot needs to go down to AAA.
Hmm, interesting.
If you get Franchi back.
But you have to have Franchi back, right? Because
without a doubt.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about. When Franchi comes back, it's always seemed, and Andy Green has not, like, you know, been coy at all, really. He's like, you know, as long as Josh Naylor's here, he said that over and over, you know, and it's like the idea is, well, left-handed bat for left-handed bat. Josh Naylor was a fill-in anyway. Okay. Well, Josh Naylor's hitting, and he's looking really good doing it, by the way. Like really good at bats and, like, learning. And so then, you know, obviously with the power and all that, it's like, huh. And so then Manuel Margot, who has become a bench player, well, maybe Manuel Margot might need, you know, that overhaul that they've been talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Franchi comes up, plays defense, but that is all contingent on Franchi Cordero coming up and, you know, being the hitter that he was at the end of spring training and the beginning of the season. And, you know, quite honestly, before he got hurt last year. But they need to be sure of that before they make this major move. And it's a major move at this point, right, to say, Manuel Margot, you're going down. And it's not like a two-week thing where, like, hey, go down and get some at-bats. It's go down like a Hunter Renfrow all-season kind of go down and get better.
Uh-huh. Well, that would certainly...
That's a big deal.
No, it would be. And, I mean, I can't say that I think that would be a bad move either. I mean, Margot just hasn't progressed. I mean, he's regressed, I guess, offensively from the good year a couple of years ago. And then defensively, we've talked about before, he's good. I don't think he's elite in center field. And you know, Cordero can be that... Even if Cordero doesn't start, he can be that late innings guy that comes in and makes the defense better, because obviously he would be the only sort of plus defender,
yep,
that they have in that outfield. With, you know, if you've got Naylor and Renfrow and Reyes and Myers. So, yeah, I think that would be certainly something. I'm not surprised to hear they're discussing that. It'll be interesting to see what they decide to do with that.
It's just a major deal. Like, okay, we're basically, barring emergency, not going to have Manuel Margot for the rest of the season. Because, and, you know, like, okay, well, great, you don't want this Manuel Margot up now. But, like, you know, he has the potential to be a good player. So it's a pretty big deal if that happens. And I'm really trying to figure it out here, as if I can get anybody to tell me.
Right,
so
right.
There you go. But I would say, you know, it was nice that Ty France got to come up and play. He showed a little bit, and they're going to, you know, have him go down. Now, I got to say, that just brings to mind the idea that, like, there is some serious frustration, and I know Jeff Sanders is going to write about it soon, but with AAA and how, you know, and being able to assess guys and it not getting in pitchers' heads, mm-hmm, and then it not inflating hitters.
Well, I mean, you look, and guys like Austin Allen and Ty France have hit in – you know, big numbers in the minors, and obviously that's the case with Urias right now, where it's like, wow, what else can he do in the minors? Well, there must be something else he can do, because, as we've said before,
fastball.
Right, otherwise they would have him up here. So, and that'll make for another interesting roster decision at that stage. But I think we're getting ahead of ourselves there right now. Yeah. I think it's great to have Tatis back. You know, I don't know if he's ready to play all four games this weekend, or if they'll play him in three.
It's a good call.
I guess it depends on how he looks, how he feels, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
They do have an off day coming up on Monday, although then they've got another stretch of, I think, at least nine games in a row coming up after that. So anyway, Kevin, we'll have plenty to talk about on Tuesday from San Francisco, I believe, is where you will be.
Yes, indeed. And it will be interesting. The Padres at 31-31, they've only spent one day below 500. So
yep,
if you're into that sort of thing, tonight's a big game. That's there we go. I got to pump myself up, Jay.
All right. Well, you got a little bit of time to do that, and hope everyone has a good weekend, and we will talk to everyone again on Tuesday.
Thank you, everybody.